Good morning, and thank you all for being here. Glad to have Danny and Gail back. And Charlene's out. I hope she'll be back next week. We've been very fortunate, I think, in this congregation not to have any more sickness than we have had during this pandemic. Brethren and friends, we all know that heaven is a place of rest. This life is not a time for rest. We must work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Kind of like the song Bill just sang. That's what Jesus said in John 9 and verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. And I know if we're faithful in our service to the Lord, we're going to get tired occasionally, but we cannot quit. We can't quit. The question before us this morning is, when we feel like giving up and giving in, why it matters? Why does it matter? Or why do people give up? Let's search the scriptures to see if we can answer this very important question. So please open your Bibles and follow along with me. Go ahead and open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, in today's times, many good efforts have been started and then abandoned. Churches have initiated efforts to save the lost, but they stopped. People have given up on themselves. Students have given up on their education. Husbands and wives have given up on their marriage. Children of God have given up on doing His will. And children of God have given up on the faith. So why do people give up? You probably remember Elijah was tempted to give up in 1 Kings chapter 19. And Paul too, as we see in 2 Corinthians 1 verses 8 through 11. Let's read that, please. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for all, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Brethren, the writing of the first epistle, or between the writing of the first epistle and this one, Paul had undergone a terrible onslaught made on him by the devotees of goddess Diana in Ephesus. It was led by Demetrius the silversmith. Paul saw no way of escape from death. So in his own mind, he was doomed to die. The danger was so great that he despaired of life. Now look at Galatians chapter 6. We'll be reading quite a few passages this morning. Galatians chapter 6. Paul wrote, beginning in verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. What does it mean to be weary in well-doing? Well, when tested by temptation, and when buffeted by the storms of life, we may at times feel like giving up and giving in. We may wonder, what does it really matter whether I give up? What does it matter if I keep on trying to live a Christian life? What does it matter? The question may come to us when we're facing some specific temptation or decision about maybe lying or cursing or profanity, maybe about stealing or gambling or dancing in modest dress, Or it could be pornography, fornication, adultery, drugs, or drinking. It could be any one of these or more. It may be a decision about spiritual priorities involving school activities, demands on the job, sports and hobbies, or entertainment programs. Perhaps we have become discouraged under the weight of the consequences of our past sins, or poor judgments that we made, or matters beyond our control, such as accidents, diseases, growing older, and the death of loved ones. Just the grinding pressure of the daily duties of life may press on us, such as shift work, the never-ending cycle of household chores, or trying to juggle the very demands of family life. Gospel preachers and elders and other saints grow weary at times under the strain of so many battles which must be fought in order to uphold the truth and to counter the subtle attacks made by Satan. We may be tempted to retire from the battle, or at least relent in our efforts to help in hope of relief and from the strain. Satan is always, he's always testing and probing, trying to wear us down and wear us out, brethren. That we can't let that happen. Look at 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. God warns us, beginning in verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." We're vulnerable, brethren. We're vulnerable to Satan. We're vulnerable to his attacks when we get tired and weary, when we begin to wonder, is it worth the fight? Does anyone notice? Or does anyone care when I try hard to serve God? Or do they notice when I try to live right and help others? Does anyone notice? Does anybody care? Is anyone listening when I speak up and speak out for the truth of righteousness? Do I really want to press on? Does it matter whether I give up and give in? We all need to be reminded at times why it matters that we do not give up, why it matters that we keep on keeping on. First of all, it matters because of God's love. It matters because God loves us so much that he sent his only Son to die for our sins so that we can have that hope of heaven. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, please. 1 John 4. We'll read verses 9 through 11. "And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, or the perfect sacrifice, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We were unworthy of God's love because we sinned and rebelled against him. God's love does not fail us when we were helpless and hopelessly doomed to hell by our own choice and our own sins." Turn with me to Romans, the 5th chapter now, if you would. Romans chapter 5. Let's read verses 6 through 8, one of my favorite passages, Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. Here's what Paul wrote to the Romans, beginning in verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." That's you and me, brethren. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Think about those words. Think about them. Think about those words and go to God and thank him. Go to God in prayer and thank him. We must not betray the love of God by turning our backs on him and turning our backs to sin. And it matters we do not give up because of Christ's sacrifice. It matters because Jesus Christ was willing to give up the beauties and the glories and the grandeurs of heaven to come to this earth as a man so that he could suffer and die for our sins. I wonder, do we really ever think about it, what all he gave up? He loves us and he wants to save us so much that he's willing to die as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Come with me to Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 5. We'll read verse 5 through 8. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Do we really appreciate what our Lord did for us? I know as humans we sometimes forget in a very selfish way and do not appreciate what Jesus did for us. I ask each one of you, would you do this for Jesus? Knowing that Christ endured hardships and made difficult sacrifices for our salvation, we can learn to suffer trials and temptations and be faithful to him. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Self-denial rather than self-indulgence is necessary for our salvation. The temptation to give up and to give in is the encroachment of self-pity and self-indulgence. Such impulses destroy rather than build godly character. And another reason it matters that we do not give up is because of our commitment to the Lord. It matters because we have made a commitment to love and obey the Lord with all of our hearts and our mind and our soul. We do not want to do things which destroy that commitment, brethren. Do not do anything to destroy that commitment, but we want to do things that renew it and strengthens that commitment. Let's go back to Romans, this time, chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. Paul said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In becoming Christians, we committed ourselves to walk a new life and not to return to the old ways of sin and disobedience and rebellion against God. You might want to ask yourself, am I still doing that? Am I still doing it? Have I given up the old ways? Do all of you remember the day that you rose from that watery grave of baptism? Yet that knew you were born a babe in Christ. Do all of you remember that? Have you kept that commitment? Staying in Romans, let's turn to chapter 12. Read verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's no higher commitment, brethren, no higher commitment we make in life than to serve the Lord. To break this holy and sacred vow is to violate and nullify every trace of honor and honesty and integrity in our minds. Still another reason it matters that we don't give up is because of heaven and hell. It matters because we want to spend eternity in heaven with God, where there's no more sin and no more guilt or sorrow or sickness or darkness, depression and death. It matters because we do not want to spend eternity in hell with Satan, where there is constant turmoil and torment and disappointment and guilt and darkness. It's always pitch dark, will be forever. Think of that. It would never end. Depression, anguish, regret, pain, and punishment. All these things. All of them. We don't want to spend eternity thinking about those things in hell. On a judgment day, we want to hear our Lord say to us, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." We do not want to hear him say to us, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And we certainly don't want to hear, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." In spite of every trial or test, we must press on in serving the Lord in view of judgment day, brethren. And judgment day will come. And brethren, it matters that we don't give up because we will take others with us. It matters that because we're saved, we'll take others with us to heaven. But if we're lost, we'll take others with us to hell. Have you ever thought about that? That's a fact. When we serve God, our light shines in this dark world in such a way as to encourage other Christians to keep on serving God and to help those who are lost and find their way to God. That's what we do. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, if you would. Beginning 14. Verse 14. Paul told the Philippians to, verse 14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Listen now, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding for the word of life." Brethren, when we live in sin, we become a stumbling block or an offense to others, thus causing them to be lost, and thus bringing upon ourselves the great wrath of God. The great wrath of God. Let's read together what our Lord said about this in Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. "But whoso shall offend or be a stumbling block to one of these little ones which believe in me, listen now, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." Just as someone was concerned for our soul and taught us the truth, others depend on the light of our teaching and our example and our influence so that they can be saved. You know, a lot of times, most often, we don't even realize who we may be helping to do right and live right with the Lord. We may not even realize it. I know all of us have had people come say, most of us, maybe I have, "If it wasn't for you, I don't know where I'd have stayed obedient or not." And that makes me feel good. And I've said it to others that because of them, they've helped me so much. There's some people in the world who know no other true Christian but each one of us. Think about it. There are some people in the world who know no other true Christian but us. We are the only ones who have the truth. Only God can measure the impact for good and we already have had and the impact we can have on the future if we continue to serve the Lord. Yes, brethren, yes, each individual light matters very, very much. And it matters if we don't give up because of the love Christians share. It does matter because the love we all share for each other as Christians. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. Then we're going to go to two or three other chapters after we get this one. 1 Peter 1. We're going to several verses. Let's look at 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. Peter said, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Now, if you would turn over to chapter 2 and look at verse 17. Peter says, "Love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood." Now, I'll go to chapter 3 and verse 8. He says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful or compassionate, and be courteous." Lastly, let's look at chapter 4 and verse 8. "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Most of your Bibles say love. There's a special love shared by all of us who love the Lord because we share a common faith. We share common trials and temptations, and we share a common goal of helping each other reach heaven. Isn't that why we're here today? To reach heaven and to help others and take others with us? That's why we sing and pray and have Bible study and sermons, and that's why we do those things, so that we can help others to get to heaven. We share that love by reaching out to each other to seek and to give advice and counsel or encouragement and strength in times of trials. And this special love is shared by taking time to listen to each other, to discuss temptations that we face, to read God's Word together, to weep together over failures and tragedies, to rejoice together over successes and victories, and to pray for each other. That's what the love of Christians does for each other. That's what we do for each other. If we give up and give in, we abandon and isolate ourselves from all of those who truly love us and who need our love. That is too high a price to pay for the folly of sin. And finally, brethren, it matters we don't give up because of our fellowship with God. It matters because we find strength and encouragement and meaning and satisfaction and comfort and peace and purpose in life only in God. Our fellowship with God is the whole meaning and purpose of life. I'm going to repeat that. Our fellowship with God is the whole meaning and purpose of life. It matters because we must keep our focus on God. When we lose our focus on God and our fellowship with God, we sink into a sea of discouragement and deception and sin and obedience and rebellion and evil. Remember what the preacher said in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13? He said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." I invite you now to turn over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. We'll read verses 3 through 7. 1 John 1, 3 through 7. 1 John 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. Yes, brethren, it matters very much what decisions we make and what steps we take in life. If we have been drifting away from God, it matters very much that we confess our sins to God, as ask the brethren to pray for us and seek God's forgiveness. Our brethren will rejoice with us. The angels will rejoice with us. God will rejoice with us. If we've been drifting from our focus on God and our fellowship with God, now is the time to change that this very morning. We must not let Satan deceive us and destroy us. God can save us and help us to go forward in his service. Brethren, each battle that we face and win with God's help makes us stronger. The fact that God has a plan to help us demonstrates that he believes in our capacity to grow stronger in Christ with his help. One last passage, if you would. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Let us say with Paul in verse 13, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we do. Paul, even the Apostle Paul had not reached yet. He had not reached his goal. But he says, forget the past. Look to the future. Yes, it matters. It matters in every way what we do. We must not give up or surrender our souls to Satan. We must press forward in serving God every day, every step of the way until we receive that crown of everlasting life. So never give up. Never, never give up. Never, never give in. Many good things have come from God to the alien sinner. Do not mistake any of these things as signs of your salvation, though. There's only one thing that will save you. This is your faith in and obedience for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Until you obey the gospel, all the sin and all the rain and the sun and the fruitful seasons and gladdened hearts will not save you. You're still lost. It's time to let go of those false hopes and obey the gospel where there is real hope. Confess your faith in Jesus. Repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of those sins. You'll be lost no longer, and you will still have all these blessings plus many, many more. Take your stand with Christ today, not just with his blessings. Maybe you're an erring Christian. You too need to make changes in your life. You need to repent to God. Ask him for forgive you. Then it'd be good if you come forward and let the brethren pray with you and pray for you. Let us be thankful for the law, God's law of forgiveness. We need to be thankful for the law of his law of forgiveness. Sometime I don't know if we appreciate it or not. So I ask you, is there anyone here that we can help in any way make their life right with God? If so, come now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.